It's one thing to be given instructions. It's one thing to hear instructions. But it's another thing to carry out the instructions. And it's another level also to carry out the instruction fully, completely. To completely carry out the instructions that you are given. But the greatest challenge we usually have is actually to accept the instructions that we receive. We receive it quite all right, but then something in us says, even though I heard, but you know, this is a hard saying. How on earth? I'm not sure. And then some of us say, you know what, I will obey later. Or you know what, I don't agree. You know, my wife knows somebody, this is the person's favorite line. Sir, I beg to disagree. You know, the person almost said even one day, no, I know that's what the Bible says, but reality, I beg to disagree. And, Lord, have mercy. Please, somebody say, Lord, I beg not to disagree with you today. Okay, let's turn our Bibles this morning let me just read Psalm 32 verse 8 and then we'll get back there at the end. Psalm number 32 verse 8. We've been following the theme this month, receiving specific instructions for my life, receiving specific instructions, and it's for me, for my life, for my destiny, for my purpose. So Psalm number 32 and verse 8 is a promise from God. By the way, please, all our leaders, team leaders, and the ministerial team, leadership team, I receive an instruction to meet with us after the service to pass an instruction. So I didn't plan the meeting, but I got instructions. So anyone leading a team in the church, leading also in the community interest company, so I just need us, our CIC, to pass this instruction. So Psalm 32 verse 8, look at what God says. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. Very, very clear and simple. God is saying what? I will instruct. I will teach. And I will guide. But in which way? In the way you ought to go. Not the way you are going currently. Some of us might be going in the right way, but you are not fully compliant, fully obedient. I remembered, I think it was when there was a change in the century and they had to start making everything Y2K. Who remembers? To become year 2000 compliant. And anything that was not Y2K, once we entered the 2K, what happened? You lose everything. Some of us are like that, not fully compliant. And the system then had no mercy. We went from analog to digital. I remember there was a debate in my own household because for a long time, you know, our sons had been, you know, begging, let's get this box, get a skybox. I'm not getting any skybox because I don't like spending money. I've just revealed a secret to you now. Well, I like money being spent, you know, but I don't like spending it. You know, Anyway, I will share some things today, some very, very deep personal experience that I'm instructed to share with us. So, and that was when everybody had to change their TV and you had to get a box. So, and then, you know, because I kept refusing, and then bang, if I remember, then our TV stopped working because the TV was not compliant. So nobody told me before I complied and I succumbed and we went to get a skybox. So funny that I don't even know how many times we watched that skybox anyway. But that's just something. I'm just telling us that, see, there, if you refuse to comply, there's a way life will cut you off or life will teach you to succumb. Somebody's wondering, where are we going today? All right, let's go and check a young man that God found from somewhere, and God decided to make him a king. And let's see how compliant he was to the instructions that he was meant to carry out as a king. 1 Samuel and chapter 15. Some of us guessed very right. But perhaps we will see something we've seen before, but maybe we didn't see. So I'm going to read the long story. And for some strange reasons, my iPad here is not compliant to bringing out the New King James Version that probably is going to be displayed on the screen to us. So I will just read from a version called the English Standard Version. English Standard Version. So just follow through, okay? Now, the Bible says, and Samuel said to Saul, verse 1, it's a long passage, so I'll read it, and then we'll just look here and there. By the way, what's the topic today? Download. Somebody say download. Thank you very much. Please help me appreciate my wife. She's my helpmeet. You know, please, if you are married, fall in love with your wife every day. And don't try to find out why you are falling. Just fall. Thank you very much. I can see you are in love with your husband. Sir, when last did you tell her, I love you? No, on a serious note, I'm not... This morning, excuse me, Mrs. Wife, he said he told you he loves you this morning. Did he? We're not exposing him. We're not reporting him. But he did. Please celebrate this man of God. You are a man of God. He told his wife this morning. Please, if your wife is here and you didn't say it this morning, say it now. Okay? It's afternoon now. Okay? This is your opportunity to say it. And if they are not here, just, you are permitted, bring out your phone and text. And please, if you text and they text you back, are you sure everything is okay? because they don't, they can't remember the last time. Oh Lord, let's have fun today. Okay, all right. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Okay, so let me go back to the New King James Version, since I have it in front of me. Someone also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of his words. Please note that that is deep. Heed the voice of his words. He didn't say, heed his words. Because you can hear the word of God, but it might be a wrong spirit quoting it to you. Oh, case in point, devil takes Jesus upon a mountain and begins to quote Psalm 91. It is written, you jump from this cliff. It is written, he shall give charge to his angels over you. They will keep you. They will bear you up and you won't dash your foot against a stone. Was that the Bible? Yes. But whose voice? The voice of a wrong spirit. Anytime you open the word of God, please hearken to hear his voice, not just the letter. Paul made it clear. The letter kills, but the spirit is what gives life. Okay? So Saul was being instructed here by Samuel. Now, therefore, heed, the King James says, hearken to the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Honestly, let me pause. I don't always like reading this story. This is one of the questions that when I get to heaven, because I'm going, I don't know about you, I am going, and nobody's going to stop me. And if you don't believe in heaven and hell, don't worry, when you get to hell, you will believe. Okay? Listen, this is very, very scary. Okay? But what we are listening to is the voice of the word, not the letter. The letter here will make you very upset. Go and kill everybody. I thought this commandment says, thou shalt not kill. But listen, we are listening to the voice, not the letter. So come with me. The Bible says, let me read it. But kill, but don't spare, attack, utterly destroy, utterly, everything. Do not spare them. But kill both man, woman, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Verse 4. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim. 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then said Saul to the Kenites, go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Verse 7, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is the east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the best of the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Was Saul fully compliant? Did he hear the instruction? Yes. Was the instruction clear? Yes. Did he fully carry out the instruction? No. Did he destroy? Yes. But did he destroy everything? Please answer. Okay, let's see God's judgment. Verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. For he has turned his back. He's turned back from following me. And has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul. And Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? and the lowing of the oxen, which are here. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. I silence every voice of condemnation rising against you right now. I say, be quiet. Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now, the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey? Obey what? The voice of the Lord. Why did you stoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord has sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep, oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, as the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Here is the excuse again. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their, please wake up. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Let's leave it there for now, okay? Let's leave it there for now. Because it just went from bad to worse and to the worst. You know, the prophet had delivered the message, and the prophet was going. And then Saul decided to grab the prophet's coat. And he tore it. And God said, yeah. And the Spirit of God came upon Samuel, and he just prophesied, the way you tore my clothes is the way God has tore the kingdom from you. I pray in the name of Jesus that we will hear, we will receive, we will accept, and we will carry out full instructions that God has given to us in the name of Jesus. Now, we'll see how we will break this down, but I'm led to share a story with us. If you have been in a place of disobedience before, then probably you can identify with this. Or if you are about to step into disobedience, then please take it and be warned. Because let me tell us something, there will always be reasons not to carry out instructions. You will always have reasons. Reasons will always come why you should not fully carry out an instruction. For example, come on. God's instruction is to forgive. That's an instruction. But you know what? You will always have a reason. Pastor, if only you know what they did to me, you won't be telling me to forgive. You are not in my shoes. It's easy for you to carry the Bible and be throwing it at me. But sir, it's an instruction. Forgive those who trespass against you. If you don't forgive, neither will my heavenly... Jesus said it verbatim. Neither will my heavenly Father forgive you of your own trespasses. But guess what? We will always have an excuse. You will always have a reason not to carry out instruction. Another instruction, give. And it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will God cause men to give to you? The measure which you give, you meet to others, it shall be meted to you. You know, I was hanging out with some of our young people during the week, you know, especially when the teachers went on strike and the children had nothing to do. So I promised them, I said, okay, you know what, we'll go for a bike ride. So big me, I got on a bicycle and I rode with some of the teenagers in the church. And we rode, by the way, we're going to do it. We rode to the new church building. By the grace of God, we're having that building, the key, everything signed, sealed, delivered shortly to the glory of God. So I said, let's ride there. So we rode the bicycle there. And then we came back. And then one of them, I love these children, asked me a question. He said, Pastor, I notice that when you ask people to, you ask for help from people, it's as if people respond. I said, why? Let me tell you the background to that. So, you know, we went and they brought bicycles out, and unfortunately, all the bicycles, the tires were flat. So we needed a pump. I thought I had a pump in my car. So I came, the pump wasn't there. So I was thinking, you know, problem solving. So I picked up my phone, and I rang one of the faithful brothers in this church. I said, this is the problem, blah, 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 where are you? He said, okay, you know what, this, he will check, he has a pump in the car, it's not there, blah, blah. And he said, you know what, I'll go and buy a pump, and I'll come and meet you. And truly brought the pump, and we pumped the tires, and we rode the bicycle. He said, Pastor, why? I said, you know what, when people call me, I respond to them too. I said, it's a law of sowing and reaping. So if you want to call people and they respond, when they call you, respond. It was a good lesson. And please, let me celebrate AY. Celebrate him. Celebrate him. I called him. Please, let's pray for him. Let's pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus, wherever they are calling his name now, favor. They will begin to call your name, favor. Go out of their way. Out of every way, even that which, legally you don't deserve, in the name of Jesus, by the favor of the Lord, you will be favored, highly favored. They will even tell you, you don't deserve this, but you know what? There's just something. There's something. We give it to you. You don't. It's not, you are not entitled, but we grant you this. We use our prerogative to just grant you favor in the name of Jesus. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. He had every excuse not to do that, go out of his way. I don't even know how much he bought the pump. Please don't send me the bill. Just joking. I know he won't. You will always have excuse not to follow instruction. Another instruction, love your spouse. you know, God just led us, instructed my wife and I to just start this that we've been doing, Healthy Couples, Healthy Homes. And I hope that our couples, that's the only way, because some of us, it's either we are too shy to talk or too big to talk. We need help, we don't talk. And some of us, it's just, you know, sincerity. It's just a clear case of dishonor. Complete dishonor. You have people, by the grace of God, I was telling a pastor during the week, I said, unless God didn't call me, we are discussing about ministry. I said, unless God did not call me to do what I'm doing, I know God called me and I know the signs, wonders, miracles that accompany it. I don't force myself to do what I'm doing. We are here for you. My wife and I are here for you. But out of dishonor, you go and meet somebody who doesn't know you, doesn't care about you, but they've set up something and they charge you money, you pay. They tell you rubbish and then you're back to square one. You're back to square one. Oh, my mentor is so and so. My spiritual prophetic mentor, my prophet, does he know you? Let me tell you, with every due respect, right, we have a general overseer, which is Pastor Yi Adeboye. Does he know you? But look, he laid hands on us to be here, to represent. We know you, and God reveals things. And by the grace of God, we are not gossips. We're here to help in any way we can. We are sold out to do that. But it's still your choice. So we set up the anonymous. Let's start dealing with issues. Let's start praying. Issues with family, issues with relationships and everything. I hope it's been helpful for those who have been joining. And if you have been too big not to join, please humble yourself because it's an instruction. But that's an aside. So God instructs, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And you have a reason not to. My wife doesn't respect me. She doesn't cook my favorite pepper soup. How can I love her? It is an instruction. We always have reasons. All right. Please obey a simple instruction and follow through. There will always be legitimate, even legitimate reasons not to carry out instructions. Anyway, let me quickly wrap up. I was coming to the UK 2002, June, precisely June 20. I land in London Heathrow Airport. I've never been to the United Kingdom in my life. I only came because of instruction. And prior to that, 1 year, my wife and our first son then, who was just 2 years old, had left Nigeria precisely exactly 1 year before that day. So they left June 21, 2001. We'd never planned to be apart for that long. Never. Why did they leave? Because God gave us instruction to come to the United Kingdom as missionaries, to do mission work, clear-cut mission work. I tell people, everybody has reasons, but I tell the truth in Christ Jesus. That's why we came to this country. Now, let me give you context. We were pastoring a church under the same mission. And a very, very thriving church. Everything, you know, I had a good job. I'd just been promoted to a managerial grade after suffering and slaving in an organization for 7 years. All of a sudden, bang, bang, got 2 double promotions. And God said, leave. So my wife left first and came with the big boy behind the camera there. Sorry, the big man. He was just 2. So by the time I came, he was just turned 3. So I've not seen my wife and my son for 1 good year. By the way, 2000, if you live in Nigeria, there were no mobile phones. You can't do video call like you do. You can't text. You can't WhatsApp. You can't do anything. So we just used to trust God to communicate. If you write a letter, God help you, post it here. You know, May your letter be compliant on the way to get to you. So we are, you know, at times we don't get to communicate as often. But the little times we will communicate, my wife will be crying, I will be crying, I will be sad. Oh, they are suffering, they are this, things are that, things are not like it is. Because we've never left each other. We just got married. We got married in 1998, 2001, we were apart. How many years is that? 3 years, just 3 years after I married. When the thing was still hot. It's very hot now. Let me ask her what I did to her this morning. Yes. No. No, your mind is dirty. Your mind is dirty. Let me tell you what, I was just holding my wife. I just love you. She said, are you not ministering today? I said, let me minister to you first. Let me minister to you first. How can I lose my home and then go and win others? Some people are not finding it funny. You better go and marry. I'm just telling you, I'm being real. Anyway, I'm just giving you context. Anyway, I landed June 20, 2002. And all that was on my mind was, wow, what does my wife look like now? We've lost 1 year of our marriage. I've not seen our son for 1 year. If you need to know how close Noah and I was. Not one moment. If I should appear, nobody touches Noah again. There was a bond between us. Now I tell him, my friend, get out. You know, just an aside. So I was so concerned, will my son still recognize me? And I don't know the state of my wife and all that, but from what I gathered, she was just holding on because God said, come to the United Kingdom. Come and do missionary work. Left everything. So I left my job. It was tough. I didn't resign. God told me to resign. I didn't resign. I didn't fully resign, but I'll tell you the story. Anyway, I landed at Heathrow, but as I was coming to the United Kingdom, God gave me like 4 specific instructions. The first one, when you get to the United Kingdom, you, your wife, and your son, don't go anywhere. Stay in your house and pray for at least 6 months or 7 months. And I will give you direction on how to do the mission work I've given you. First instruction, sit down in your house. Do fellowship with your wife and your baby, your toddler. For how many months? Now, I was a pastor in Nigeria, my home country. By this time, I was very popular. I was the pastor that they would invite everybody, come and preach here. Please, come, pastor. Oh, yeah, come on. I was busy. And then I'm coming here and God is telling me, come and sit down. I'll be looking at one baby. I can still look at my wife, but, you know, it was tough. That's first instruction. Second instruction. God told me that this is a time to catch up with your family that you have missed. Family time. But why did I come here? Why did I leave everything I left behind? Oh, come on. I don't want to be boasting. But somebody came to our house and saw a picture of our circumstances then. I said, you mean you left all this and came to this country? It was a white British scouser who said, are you sure you are meant to be here? You left this. Catch up with your family. It's a family time. And you know when you've not seen your wife for a year, let me tell you the truth. You've grown apart. And there's the tendency, you will fight. But thank God that God had prepared my wife to her, and somebody who was in her shoes before warned her, when your husband comes, don't fight him. You better don't fight him because of course, I was very confused when I first came. I've never been to the UK. I get on the road to say, let's go out. I don't know which side of the road to stand. We want to take the bus, say, let's cross to that side. But no, on this side, this is where we take bus in Nigeria. We fight. Every little thing. And then this young man too, you know, it wasn't easy then. It was, come on, hyper. I mean, please, those of you who have children and they are jumping all over the place, there's hope for you. I mean mega hyper. People see Noah today and he's gentle. Yes, he's doing that. He wasn't like that. Anyway, and then we should start. In terms of the fellowship, God clearly spoke to me. There's a friend of yours who's in the UK, has a church. He wants you to work with him. Don't work with him. Don't go to his church. And then there was a new church plant, and I just felt, you know, and God said, no, stay in your living room for 6 months at least. And after that, I will give you instruction on what to do. And then as I was in the plane, mega thousands of miles above sea level, I was having clear communication with God. And God told me, when you get to the UK, go and become a teacher. Some of you have heard me share these things before, but hear this now. Go and train and become a teacher. That is the inroad into life, into the UK, so that you can easily understand the culture, understand the language, understand the thinking, interact with the people, and then you can easily do the mission work I gave you. Let the teaching go and teach. Prior to this time, I'd never taught in my life. Not in a school. The only place I taught was in church. Sunday school. And I was taught very well too. I told you my wife was my Sunday school teacher and I married my Sunday school teacher. I was well instructed. You know? So, all the instructions I received were contrary to my lifestyle. So the question is, did I obey? I got to the United Kingdom and the first thing on my mind was survivor. Me, big man of God, sit down. Where two or three are gathered, 6 months, pray. My friend has a church. It's easy for me to go and join his church and we do mission work together. But God said, no. Okay, there's a new church plant in town under the same mission, just started. Just go there. God said, no. Weird instruction. Anyway, and then the teaching, go and teach. I've never thought, I was excited a little bit about that one. And then I got to this country, and then I found out truly, they are looking for people like me. People who have engineering background, who can teach maths. I remember maths, engineering, design technology, and science, and IT. That they are looking for your type. A government policy came. And we will give them money, a grant, to train to become teachers. I was excited. So I went. That one excited me more than any other thing. And then we went to inquire, and I found out that they said, I'm not entitled to that grant until I've lived in this country for at least 2 years. And that just discouraged me. And then I began to worry. My son, I've lost touch. My wife, I just didn't like the condition they were in. And I looked at my son, his age mates, by this time was three, his age mates in my country are already writing and reading. The guy could not read or write jack. I began to worry. Listen, worry will choke instructions God give you. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choked the instruction, and I dropped every single instruction God gave me. I didn't sit in my house for 6 months. Started jumping here. Oh, where can I minister in this country? They must know I can preach. Listen, people, when God tells you to, one of the most difficult things to do is to sit down. I tell people who just come into this country, and you know, you just want to join the church, and I want to do this, that. They don't let anybody do anything in that church. My friend, sit down. What are you looking for? That's the question. Are you looking for God? If you're looking for God, we are seeking God here. We will find God together. We will grow together. But if you're looking for title, position, you know, wrong number. My hands were burnt. Of course, some doors of ministry opened to me. But then it came with trouble. I was lied against. I was accused. In fact, a petition was written against me to our general overseer. Because I went where God didn't send me, did what God didn't ask me to do. And after I strayed away for 7 months, thank God for my wife. One day my wife told me, I'm not following you anywhere again. God told us to sit down here, and I'm sitting down. By this time, it was already 9 months or almost a year that I'd come, arrived in the country, and then there came the arrival of our second son, Joshua. You know, when you've not seen your wife for a year, I promise you, after some months, something will happen. But God used the young man as a metaphor to speak to us. And after I heard and I sat down, and God said, go back to the original instruction I gave you. We had lost ground, but I won't bore you. But there were consequences. Serious. I've just told you one. I was maligned. I was accused. I was getting depressed. I was crying. I was this. I was that. And then one day, let me tell you how I got my deliverance. God told me, anytime you are not doing what I ask you to do, you will keep doing the wrong thing. You will keep going to the wrong places. Even your good will be evil spoken of. You are doing good. It's clearly good. Oh, God! Come on, how many of us have been there? Honestly, God sees my heart. I meant well. I meant well. But then, they see your well as evil. Why? Check the root cause. You are not following God's instruction fully. Let me close with this. We'll continue next week. God is speaking to me about donkey. Maybe we'll look at that if the Spirit of God will enable us. Listen. Do you know the problem of Saul? Okay. Let me quickly run through it and show you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This problem of Saul is summarized in one word, people. Saul, why didn't you obey God's full instruction? Verse 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15. All right? Here is the excuse. And Saul said, they have brought them from Amalekites for people's... Okay, Samuel accused him in verse 14, 15. Saul said, they've brought them from the Amalekites for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Trying to even make Samuel himself feel guilty. Is it not God we are serving? You know, you hear people say that. Is it not the same God? If I can't do it here where God tells me to do it, I can always do it somewhere else. Error. Sit down where God has planted you. It does not always have to look right. People! Okay, let's go down to verse 21. He was accused, he was confronted. Verse 21. Okay, listen. Verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, yeah, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. I brought Agag, the king of Amalekites. I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, they took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which will have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. All right, go down again to verse 24. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Please, whose voice are you following? Which voice are you hearing? Hearken to the voice of his word. Psalm 103 verse 20. The voice of his word, not the letter. Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? People, you know, somebody once told me, so I'm not coming to that church again. Why? Because I saw somebody there, people that I don't want to see. But God brought you to the church. People, why are you not forgiving those people? You don't know what the people are saying about me. Why are you not carrying instruction? You know, I'm afraid of what people will say. Okay, let's see one more. Verse 30. You thought Saul was completely sober now. Verse 30. He now said, then, he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray you, before the elders of my people and before the people of Israel. Turn again with me that I may worship the Lord your God. Let me tell you, that's how you know when you are straight. When it's not the Lord my God, it's not the Lord your God. You're trying to pull a guilt complex on people. You know, people sit down with us in the place of counseling and they are dodging responsibility. It's always the other party that is wrong. Never you. It's always people that are wrong. People don't like me. I don't know why people always look at me like that. I don't know why people are always talking about me. I don't know why when it's my turn, people will not give me. I don't know. I remember some years ago, thank God for such people that God cast us of the temple. It was in those days, Uncle Gift, when we used to have welfare and we serve food. And somebody got very mad because they were not giving chicken. And they gave somebody else chicken. And they began to take offense. So much that they began to fight me. Because of... No, it's because of people. The people did not give them chicken. Please, what are you looking for? That's the question. And why are you not following God's instructions? People. People. And then you begin to follow people everywhere. Everywhere. A young man rang me recently. I'm closing now. And he said, oh, you know, Pastor, please. He was chasing me all over the place. And I just felt, because honestly, that's Mommy Sissy. I'm learning to run away from some people now. Do you want me to tell you the truth? Because when I know that you are just trouble, you are just looking for trouble, fight me, do anything, I run. I have the ability to run. From people. There's a scripture. I was looking for it this morning. Paul said, pray for us that God will deliver us from men. Young man, I saw called me all the time. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, should I attend to these people? And I felt, okay. And then began to tell me all the trouble they had, you know, since they married, this, that, these people are saying this, people, that. I felt like saying something to the person, but I restrained myself. When you wanted to marry, My wife and I were chasing you to counsel you. But he was listening to people. Even his wife-to-be did not want to talk to us, this kind of people. Let me tell you at times why you don't go for counseling. Because you know what the Bible says. And you know that when you come, we will tell you not what people are saying. I don't want to be popular. I'm not looking for likes. I'm not looking for share. I'm not looking for followers. All those people you are even following on social media, do you know where they are going? Let me tell you, those people you are following, do you know what it means to follow? It means where they are going, you are heading there too. God help you. I felt like telling this. When he finished talking, and I said, my friend, number one, do you know the purpose of marriage? Number two, I didn't want to remind him. Because do you know what God did to Saul? God actually had to remind him. When you were little, I know where I brought you from. Now you're a big man. You're a big woman. See, we see all that. I told my wife that I finally found my voice. There are some people, when I see them, I will tell you, you're an ingrate. That's what you are. Sorry, I'm looking your direction. I'm just making eye contact. You're not an ingrate. You are not. See, this young man, my wife taught him when he was in primary school. Yeah. He's a big man now. And he still respects my wife. Please celebrate him. Big man. Today, I had an idea about his son. He earns even more than me and my wife. This man. Why are you laughing? Don't you want to earn more? You will earn more. They will double your salary. And you'll remember me. So the young man, I felt like reminding him. Now you are running and seeking for counsel. No, don't worry. The Bible says God, do you know what God says? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally and upbraids not. Did they understand it? You understood it. Some people just choose to be foolish. You want to talk to them, you want to advise them, they don't want to listen. Don't worry. When they come back, when their fingers are burnt, please don't upbraid them. That's what it means. God will give you. God is so good. He won't cast you away. You've missed it. You come back sincerely with your heart. He won't upbraid. He won't tell you, God, don't catch you. Sorry, I'm speaking. I'm breaking English. No. So I told him. I said, look at the decision you want to make now. I said, what is the center of the decision you're making? He said, I never saw it like that. I have been sad. I have not slept. I have not, Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. My friend, don't listen to people. Listen to God. Finally, I'll give us two scriptures. Write these scriptures down. Jesus said this, either heart hears, let him hear what the people are saying. Matthew chapter 11 verse 15. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Psalm 103 verse 20. Bless the Lord, you angels of ease that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. Please, let's pray. I felt like when our brother was leading the prayer earlier that somebody wants to give their life to Jesus today. And I am challenging you before the people, because the instruction I received is that you should come outside in front of people. Please just play. If that's you, I'm not wasting time. Come out right now. You want to give your life to Jesus, or even rededicate, and you don't care what the people or anybody say. Maybe today is even your first time. That even makes it easier for you. Come out. And I'm just going to count 1 to 5. It's an instruction. Your heart is tugging. One. Please, no pressure. Just talk to the Lord as you are coming. Two. Three. Don't harden your heart. I will advise you. Witchcraft is stubbornness, rebellion. My brother, God bless you. Listen, just go and obey. That's all. I pray for you the grace to obey what God is saying. I pray for you the grace to do what you have been told in the night time. Do it during the day. Please go back to your seats. I'm still waiting for one or two more people. Just step out. I don't care what people are thinking. Break that yoke. Listen, I'm not... Tomorrow might be late. I'm leaving now. Please, whoever is taking the announcement, please just come and take the announcement and pray. But if you are still coming out, come out quickly. Just step out. God bless you. Just tell God I'm ready to fully obey.